tell us a little bit about the breeding program that's been going on here, because I feel like that's kind of a part of it. Like you mentioned.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. And on these mornings, it's not just Racing Across America, it's racing around the globe. Saudi Cup Day, a great international day of racing. It'll be capped a little after lunchtime today, our time, by the $20 million Saudi Cup, which will include Mandaloon and Midnight Bourbon and Marsh Lorraine, art collectors in there, and as they say, a star-studded international field on an international day that so far has been dominated by the Japanese. But we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. A little bit later on, we will be joined by Rick Hammerly, because on this side of the world, nice day at Oaklawn this afternoon with the Rebel and also Secret Oath on the three-year-old filly side for Wayne Lucas. So some nice stakes down at Oaklawn a little bit later on. And as I say, towards the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about that. Before I get into anything on today's show, though, do want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this and some of the other programming and events here on the network. Gulfstream Park and their championship meet. We appreciate their support, certainly. And also do want to remind you, speaking of big days, big day down at Gulfstream today with a mandatory pay in the Rainbow Six, and they're expecting at least $6 million in the pool. So keep that in mind. Rainbow Six at Gulfstream, mandatory pay this afternoon. And we had our first guest there, and we will recall, because I think I heard the telltale tones of things wrapping up there, but we will reconnect here momentarily and get back on. And then we're going to get, I'm listening in the air, and then we will plug into some Saudi Cup action and talk a little bit. And I am going to check now and see if we have reconnected with our friend Dick Powell, because anytime there is international racing, like to reach out to Dick. Dick, are you there? Good morning. Oh, I'm being told not yet. So we will try Dick momentarily again to talk some Saudi Cup. We're halfway through the card. We still have some nice Saudi Cup races coming up. The Saudi Cup, of course, will go off at about 12:35. The next race is Arabian Horses. A big money Arabian horse race. That'll be about 10:25. But then the last three races of the card are all very nice. And the Saudi Cup, the Dirt Sprint, and the Saudi Derby. We'll talk about those with Dick momentarily. So keep that in mind. Once again, at Gulfstream, the Rainbow Six today, it's well over $1 million. And it got to $1 million about a week ago. And once it gets to $1 million now, they pretty much then plug in a mandatory day. So you knew it was coming, and they announced a few days ago, earlier this week, that today would be the day. So, we went through the sequence on the handicappers report with Brian Netto. You can pull up the one sheet as well and get Brian's selections also on the one sheet for more information there. And I just heard the telltale sign in my ear again, so if the guys in the control room can update me. Okay, all right. Should we take a break? All right. Because I can only tap dance so much. All right, we will take a break and we'll figure the phone out here momentarily. So stay tuned. All right, I do believe we have the phone issues solved here, and I have him in my ear, Dick Powell. As I said earlier, whenever there's a big day of international racing, I always like to reach out to Dick. Dick, good morning.
Good morning again, Seth.
And before we get into today specifically, fill us in, because you know, it's a big day of international racing, $20 million for the Saudi Cup, and you were part of that, the original planning for this big day, right?
Yes, I was, and I'm actually working on it today. I did the morning line.
Okay, nice.
Which was quite a challenge, especially for that last race, the 20-runner local handicap. The goal is just get the favorite right, and which I did, and wasn't that hard. And, you know, when you have a morning line, it just gives the regular player some guidance. You know, it's not a selection, but it's just who do I think the public's going to bet and stuff like that, and it kind of guides them a little bit. And so I spent hours on Wednesday getting it done, and then today I've been sitting in front of the TV since 7 o'clock because I've been watching the graphics. There's been a couple of mistakes. I have numbers to call in Florida and California with Roberts, and just waiting for prices to come up. And so
nah.
I'm working through the Saudi Cup today.
I hear you, and let's talk a little bit about it before we get into the predictions, the preview. Let's review a little bit. And the first three races, man, it is the going back to the Breeders' Cup, the year of Japan, and you going back to the Eclipse Awards a couple of weeks ago, I was a little bit shocked that the NTRA moment of the year was the Japanese runners at the Breeders' Cup, but that recognized a big day for them, and they won the first three here so far on the Saudi Cup. So, again, an international day of racing, and Japan continues what has been a pretty good, six, 8 months or so.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you notice, the turf races were at the beginning of the card, and the reason for that is the turf course isn't really lit. That it's the dirt course is lit, so they can run at night on the dirt course, but the turf course isn't. So the first three races today were on turf, and not only the Japanese, but every race ridden by Christophe Lemaire. So he just and most of them going to the front and just dominating. You know, most Europeans hold up. Americans usually go to the front, but a couple of horses had trouble. And Lemaire just put his horses on the lead, and you could see he didn't use any energy to do it. So when he got challenged, he just had no problem holding off everybody. So, yes, Japanese start out 1, 2, 3, and then the next race was for local horses because they wanted to have a big money race for the local Saudi-owned and trained horses. So they had 20 horses in that. That was a $1 million purse, and Longshot won that race, number 17, so...
Speaking of the Japanese, let's jump into the Saudi Cup itself, and we'll work our way back and look at the last three races. Again, the Saudi Cup, the Dirt Sprint, and the Saudi Derby. But the Saudi Cup will go off 12:35 our time, $20 million up for grabs. And Marsh Lorraine is in there, the Japanese winner, the runner that won the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Art Collector's in there, a familiar name to us. But I pulled up a replay going back to the Louisiana at the fairgrounds on January 22nd. Mandaloon will be the winner. Midnight Bourbon will run second. They're both back on Saturday in Saudi Arabia. And I think Mandaloon, people are looking forward to a big season for that one. And Midnight Bourbon. I think that three-year-old crop at the end of last year showed some promise. And what we've seen so far, they have kind of validated that early in the four-year-old season. So folks are looking forward to those two. But what are your thoughts on the Saudi Cup?
Yeah, I wound up making Mandaloon the 5-2 favorite, Midnight Bourbon 4-1. I like Mandaloon's race off the six-month layoff. Won in Louisiana, fast time, did it very professionally. And then since then, Brad has really drilled them up. Third fastest of 181 half mile, and then a 111 and change, 6 furlong breeze. Put him on the plane. Not only does he go for 20 million purse today, but he's been declared the almost official winner of the Kentucky Derby by the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission. So he's been moved up in the Pegasus. So it looks like he's been moved up in the Kentucky Derby. And today I don't think he's going to need any help. I think he can win this race for Florent Giroux and Brad Cox.
What are your thoughts on last year's winner, speaking of big international runners, Mishriff?
I think the post is going to be tough. Now, I know he won from post 12 last year. He's a very good horse, and unlike many Europeans, he has pace. So he's not a closer. They're not going to wrap up on him. They'll probably push him pretty hard early. But then with the Americans to his inside, and they're not going to yield to him, it'll be interesting to see what tactics he has to employ from post 14. It's a one-turn mile and an eighth, so you got a good run into that first turn, but it's you're still going to have horses to your inside unless you really put the pedal down. I would expect Luis Saez is going to have to lead with Art Collect and Bill Mott. I mean, he's fast as could be, and no reason to think he won't go. And then there's some others, this Uruguayan horse, Aerotrem, he looks like he has pace, so it'll be interesting to see how Mishriff does. But Mishriff came out of last year's race, went to Dubai, won $6 million turf race there, and then wound up winning the Judmon International by 6 lengths on the turf. So he's an interesting horse because he likes flat courses. He doesn't like the big undulating tracks that you get at Epsom and things like that. So Dubai's perfect for him, Saudi's perfect for him, things like that. So he'll be tough today. John Gosden and his son do an awesome job with him.
Yeah, as you say, it was a really interesting season last year for him, winning the dirt race and then having a great turf season as well. So he's an international runner. And as you kind of mentioned and alluded to, folks should remember when they're betting these kind of races, as in most international jurisdictions, the number of the horse is not necessarily the post position the way it is over here. And Mishriff, the number 9, is post position 14. Mandaloon, number 7, but post position number 6. So he's pretty well spotted. One race earlier, the Dirt Sprint. Capano Kicking is the winner of last year's Dirt Sprint. So that one is a little bit interesting on that. But I pulled up a replay of Switzerland winning in Dubai on New Year's Day. Switzerland, about mid-stretch, it sounded like maybe we lost Dick again. So if those guys can try to give Dick a call, I will set this up. But as we watch the replay here, Switzerland in Dubai last time, about mid-stretch, it looks like this is going to be a close race. And then Switzerland kind of puts the jets on, and the chart margin winds up to be just about 10 lengths. I mean, as I say, mid-stretch, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a pretty close finish. No, it is not a close finish. At Switzerland runs away and hides coming out of this, again, New Year's Day race at Maidan in Dubai. So to me, Switzerland is very tough in here. But again, number 10, post position, however, number 14. So keep that in mind as well. Capano Kicking, as I say, the number 2 horse, leaves from 3 and was the winner last year. So that horse is going to also attract some attention, certainly. Gladiator King, I think, could be an interesting player in here as well. And Gladiator King ran 2nd in that race we just saw behind Switzerland. So, and I will check. Dick, do we have you? Are you back? No Dick. All right. Well, I will continue to vamp here until we get Dick back. But Dick did make Switzerland the 3-1 second choice. Capano Kicking, who won last year, is the 5-2 choice on Dick's morning line. 9-2 third choice is actually Dancing Prince, who comes in with a 2-race win streak, but overall in the career, 8 wins and 12 starts. So Dancing Prince also intriguing in here. Rudy Trigger is another kind of win machine with 3 wins and 6 starts, but with only 6 starts, it's going to be interesting to see what a lately raced horse like that can do in a large, salty international field. And as I say, Gladiator King, 8-1 on Dick's morning line. Also intriguing. Lightly raced over the past couple of seasons, but 10 exacta finishes and 21 starts throughout the career. So he's interesting, as I say, coming out of the second place finish. And again, Switzerland ran away and hid second place by 10 lengths, but it was second place for a horse coming off a long layoff, being lightly raced over the past couple of seasons. So again, the dirt sprint also intriguing in there. I'm checking in. Anything? Okay. Okay. I am getting word from the control room here as far as our phone situation, because I can only vamp so much in here. Okay. Yeah. Why don't we do that? I'll send it to the race. We'll watch the race. We'll come back and hopefully have Dick on the other side. So that'll be the game plan. Coming up, it is race number 5 in Saudi Arabia. This is the horse for the race for the Arabians. So keep that in mind. I was talking to Dick off the air. I said, I remember seeing my first Arabian race down at Delaware, and it felt like they were going in slow motion. It's a little bit different, fun, but a little bit different. But Arabians coming up in Saudi Arabia. So what better spot for the Arabians to face off for a large amount of money in race number 5 again out in Saudi Arabia. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few right after the race.
100 meters. So to think that he can now stretch out to a mile and a quarter, 2,000 meters, that's not unheard of for the Arabians. But this track, I think, really sets up well for him to cruise. This is the one race all weekend where they utilize that long chute at the 2,000 meter start. They almost run about half the race before they go to the end of the backstretch. So it sets up two possible scenarios. On one hand, there's no rush to go to the lead because you have a lot of time to settle in. But for this Arabian breed, you can kind of push forward. And it's almost like a diesel engine. They can go and go and just see what the others can do in behind. And so I think this long backstretch could suit well if RB Rich like me can get into a rhythm. And if anyone's going to get him into a rhythm, it's his jockey, Audrey.
What about the undefeated local horse, Tayal Al-Khalidia, the 14?
He's a 4-year-old. Arabians can't start racing until they're 3. Mm-hmm. So he's taking on the big boys here. He won 2 stakes races in a span of 11 days. And if he steps up, he's the future star of the sport in this country.
John Hunt with the call.
Michelle, thank you. We're just about good to go here for the Opaya Arabian Classic. And they're very awkward out of the gates was number 6, Prince Amir. That one lost quite a few lengths out of the gates there, and rushed along as well is Rassi, number 7, towards the wide outside. On the outside, Shiris shows good speed, racing in company with Nadir Al-Khalidia with that white cap. And now the grey, RB Rich Like Me, comes forward as well. Maidan, he's been completely dominating his fields. Looks like he's just easing to the front at the end of the first quarter of a mile. They come onto the main track now. Just in behind these leaders races Mutawakkel Al-Khalidia, who's up on the wide outside. He's racing in company with Rassi, who's still widest of all. Buried away mid-track, the likes of Sea Lion and Tilal Al-Khalidia, number 14, moving pretty well. He's round about 5th or 6th at the moment with Zaleh Al-Cham for company. And the leader there just shied away. It was RB Rich Like Me. Just took a dart out to the right there. Don't know whether that put off Sea Lion or not, but Sea Lion's now come under pretty heavy pressure. Our new back marker is number 12, Shihana Al-Daham. Driven along now is Harab. That one's absolutely flat out. And after that tardy start, Prince Amer is still one of the back markers. So they make the turn out of the back straight. RB Rich Like Me comes to the lead here. Shiris under heavy pressure to try and go with him. Likewise, Nadir Al-Khalidia, and also on the wide outside, Mutawakkel Al-Khalidia. They're 3 and 4. I do like the way Derian's improved for France on their heels. That's the green and red checks into fourth place. Heidi de la Carre has also improved very nicely as well. White and blue colours, and this field now getting well and truly thinned out. Not much coming from Nabil Al-Khalidia, but up front, RB Rich Like Me with Talal Al-Khalidia almost upsides. We'll see if the youngster Talal Al-Khalidia truly gets the trip here and now. Heidi de la Carre is back in third place, and then in behind those, Derian back in fourth place. It is Talal Al-Khalidia out in front. Heidi de la Carre coming strongly down the middle of the track. RB Rich Like Me on the rail. It's Talal Al-Khalidia being joined by Heidi de la Carre on the near side. Talal Al-Khalidia joined right on the line by Heidi de la Carre. And it is the first photo finish of the night. 2 and 14 have gone past together, with RB Rich Like Me just in behind them in third place. Derian came next, and then Zalaj Al-Cham was never ever nearer. Harab has toiled home pretty disappointingly. Smile on the face from Olivier Pellier suggests he thinks he's got there, and on the near side, he may well have done. Number two, Heidi de la Carre, from that evidence, looks to have beaten Talal Al-Khalidia, but it's...
Photo finish there in race number 5 from Saudi Arabia. It looked like the 2 got up. Hold your tickets there. We have gotten Dick back on the phone, and we'll jump back into that dirt sprint, which again is going to be race number 7 later this afternoon. Capano kicking the winner from last year. Dick, we took a look at that last race from Switzerland at Meydan, where about mid-stretch I said, I think this is going to be a tight finish. And then all of a sudden, Switzerland puts it in gear and wins off by 10. Second-place finisher Gladiator King in that race comes back this afternoon as well. What are your thoughts in the dirt sprint?
Well, Switzerland ran well in the dirt sprint last year, beating less than 4 lengths. And that was off a win in Dubai. This was a much better win in Dubai, a little bit less competition. But it was just a monstrous win in fast time. So even at the age of 8, I think Switzerland's going to be tough. He drew post 14, though, and it's a big wide sweep and turn, but that doesn't mean you're going to be able to get over and save ground. So I went with the Japanese horse, you know, not thinking they'd have this big a day. But I went with Capano Kick as the morning line favorite. And then I have Switzerland, I have Dancing Prince, another Japanese horse who comes in off 2 wins over in Japan. And Japan has really good dirt racing. They have quite a bit of races run on dirt. They have high-class races on it. Their horses ship and do well around the world when they get a chance to run on dirt. So I have the Japanese first and third in my morning line, with Switzerland as my second choice.
Gladiator King, as they say, was well beaten. That was a 10-length margin, was behind Switzerland in the race we looked at a few minutes ago. But lightly raced over the past couple of seasons, does he benefit from that New Year's Day start?
It should move him forward.
Oh. All right. It looks like we lost Vic again. I got Hammerly coming up. So why don't we watch this play out a little bit? We'll head to a break and we'll come back in. We'll move over to Hammerly because I know he's got a time constraint. So we'll go with that game plan. Also coming up on the card, the 5th race today is going to be the Saudi Derby. We can't show the replay that I pulled up. That's probably not a bad idea. Because Saudi Derby will include the Bob Baffert horse coming over Pinehurst. I pulled up the replay from the Del Mar Futurity back in September. Subsequently ran 5th in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And then in the last start, the 3-year-old debut, the San Vicente, ran 2nd. But right here we're watching, again, going back to last September. This was only career start number 2 off a maiden breaker in August. This was early in September. Pinehurst wins. And so with only four career starts, Starlight Racing, Matiquette and Company, Bob Baffert send this one over. Flavian Pratt will be on board. The Saudi Derby worth $1.5 million. So they're going to take a little shot over there. And Dick made this one. And I'm sure some of that thinking was, American bettors will enjoy an American runner. Made that one the 5-2 favorite. Consigliere, the number 5 horse at 8-1 on the morning line, is interesting with a couple of starts so far and a couple of wins in Japan. And again, they are the Japanese runners seem to be doing very, very well this morning, tonight in Saudi Arabia, this morning our time. So we will see in the Saudi Derby a little bit later on. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little Oaklawn for today because, speaking of derbies, we're on the way to the Arkansas Derby and then the Kentucky Derby as well. That Arkansas Derby trail continues today with the Rebel. Nice field of 11 scheduled in there, so we'll talk about that and more with the racing coordinator down at Oaklawn, Rick Hamerly. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As noted earlier, big day down at Oaklawn, a step along the Arkansas Derby Trail and onto the Kentucky Derby with the Rebel, but also on the three-year-old filly side, looking forward to Secret Oath and the Honeybee, and thought we would reach out to our friend Rick Hammerly, the racing coordinator down at Oaklawn, for some Arkansas racing discussion. Rick, good morning.
Good morning to you, Seth. How are you? Where are we talking from? Up in Maine?
No. I'm in our Albany studio, but it might as well be Maine. My thermometer on my dashboard this morning said 10 degrees. So, and I was going to note that I looked at your Twitter feed last night, and I could relate because I scrolled down, and it had to be a couple of weeks ago or whatever. You were really working at scraping up a nice amount of ice on the windshield.
Yes. Well, I asked because it's rather chilly here as well. We're not into the tens. We're out of the tens, but it's cold. It's in the 30s, and we're supposed to get a little more precipitation today, but it's not going to get to 40 today. But it's not going to affect anything here. These are the most hardy horse people, players, and trainers. They're going to come. They're going to come no matter what. So. We're looking for a big day today. Before we start, anybody playing the card today, we have a noon post, noon central time, 12 races, and the track's going to be muddy. There's no way for it to dry out, and we might get some more sprinkles later on in the day. So think muddy when you're looking over the card.
All right, will do. And, yeah, I knew it was cooler down there because, again, looking at your Twitter feed, or maybe it was over on Bick's Twitter feed. I saw you were on with Steve Bick earlier, and you guys are both wearing parkas, so I had the feeling it was a little cool down there this week. I'm sure you will get a good crowd because I love Oaklawn. I think it has a very Saratoga feel. I think the community is plugged into Oaklawn the way our Saratoga community is plugged into the track up here, and so I'm sure regardless of the weather, they're going to show up this afternoon for a really nice card. And let's talk a little bit about it, get some of your thoughts in the Rebel. Newgrange obviously is going to take a lot of action coming out of the three wins and three starts, including the Southwest earlier. I thought Karama for Steve Asmussen was a little bit intriguing, and maybe with some starts under the belt is worth looking to as an improving horse potentially. But I'm going to take a little pop with Dash Attack. I'm not thrilled with the post position, but we're going to watch the replay here of the Smarty Jones on New Year's Day. And I was really impressed by this performance. And on that, I kind of landed on this one in the Southwest. He wound up running fifth there. But I had Kenny McPeak on the show last week, and he kind of was pointing at himself and his team and saying, you know what, I don't think we kind of trained up the way to the Southwest the way we would have liked to. Subsequently, he's put in a couple of really nice workouts coming into this afternoon. So I'm going to take a little pop with Dash Attack. But what are your thoughts on the Rebel?
Well, I think we had a few questions to ask going in. One was, what would the track going to be like? So now that we know that it's going to be off, we can settle that. And then there's the question of the Southwest, which was the prep for the Rebel, which obviously is the prep for the Arkansas Derby. There's the first five horses in the Southwest are in here. So you need to decide if you thought that race was a decent race or not. And if not, obviously you can throw five horses out and look for a fresh one. Newgrange, okay. Bob Shipson, he doesn't like to miss the Rebel, as you know. One little X by that. He nominated five or six horses about 2 weeks ago. Newgrange wasn't one of them.
Oh.
He didn't plan on sending him, but for the way he operates, when it came time to put a horse in, he was probably doing the best. He doesn't ship to hope to win. He likes to ship to win. So we had to supplement Newgrange, which lets me know that he was doing well. And, you know, I've been down this road so many times, and, you know, you try and beat the guy with his horses in these three-year-old races, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. So you could just say, you know what, I've seen this story before. I'm going to circle Newgrange, single him, and move on. That's not that, you know, but that's fine. But there's some other interesting topics to talk about, and you know, You want to look at the slop. I, I landed on Dash Attack yesterday and talked about it for a little bit. We had a couple of guests that did too. So I don't know if that's too much weight, but I do like the fact that, he has won twice over the slop. He ran a very good race in the Smarty Jones, got some pace to run at. And, I wasn't too disappointed that he, didn't perform the same in the Southwest, that he's going to get his track. He's probably going to get, something to run at. And so I think the price is going to be right here too. We had one of the local guys here that works for Echo Base, been here for 100 years and watches the works and everything else. He gave us a little alternate selection here, which maybe not be too bad. This Texas Red Horse, Texas Red Hot, the 5 horse, is going to be a huge price coming off a race in that Kentucky Jockey Club, which has been a super go-to race. Look at the horses that were in there. You can just see on the page. Pasta Causeway came back and won. White Arabio came back there in Florida and won. So it's a live race. This is the first time out of the box back for this horse. Works been working super. So as a live, as a possible live long shot, throw in Texas Red Hot. You mentioned Kairama, one of three that Asmussen has in here. Chasing Time, probably the best noted one, comes off a super allowance win here. Since Joel Rosario, his go-to rider here this year, is over riding in another country. He brought in Tyler Gaffione for his first run at Oaklawn. And so that tells me that this might be the live horse of him, just because he brings him in. He's going to be a decent price. And one more horse to take a look at for you watching the replay. Watch the replay of Ethereal Road, number 10. Dwayne Lucas is the horse. Yes, he just broke his maiden. And maybe the field wasn't that great, but the way he did it was one of those wow. I mean, literally walked out of the gate, and literally when they're going down the backside and you hear a big stopper's call, you think you see him at the end of the pack, and it's not until the far turn he actually enters the TV and just makes a huge run and draws off. So a move like that you don't see too often. I mean, it was like an Arazi type move. Whether he can repeat something like that or not. So there's a lot of options. I think it's wide open here. I don't see a standout unless New Grange doesn't win. So, like I said, I landed on Dash Attack for a few reasons. One of them is, we're probably going to get paid. But, a lot of options here at with the track being sloppy. Watch a couple races. Obviously, this is going to be later in the card. You can see some trends. But for the most part here, there's not a whole lot of bias, but you will see the jocks turner for home try and get out towards the middle of the track in the 4-5 path, and that's just because, as most tracks are, it gets a little deeper when it's wet down towards the rail. But other than that, check it out. See if it's going to be a lot of speed holding on or some closers. But generally, Oaklawn is a very fair track. It doesn't seem to have a any kind of bias. So, it's a wide open race. I would say look for a price in here.
Yeah, Texas Red Hot, you mentioned that one, coming out of the Kentucky Jockey Club. People might look and say, well, he was 10th, and, Waiter Barrio and Classic Causeway were right up in the mix. But Call Me Midnight, I just have pulled a chart up here. Call Me Midnight, who ran 7th in that Kentucky Jockey Club, came back and had a nice stakes win as well. So Texas Red Hot might be interesting at a price as well. It is. It's a really fun race. And, you talk about the track down there and the way it plays. And I love Oaklawn. I think there's a lot of value. I think I always look forward to it to play during the winter season. And you also mentioned Dwayne Lucas, and want to bring him up as we talk about the stakes race earlier on the card, the Honey Bee. Boy, that win in the Martha Washington, we're going to take a look here. Secret Oath, a decisive winner back on January 29th in the Martha Washington at Oaklawn. And off of that, you automatically started thinking, Kentucky Oaks, and will Dwayne Lucas be prominent again on Derby weekend at Churchill Downs this year? So 3-2 on the morning line, you're not going to get a lot of money, but it's a great story, and I'm going to certainly be rooting for Secret Oath. What are your thoughts on the Honey Bee?
Well, there's a lot of people that actually think here that this might be the best 3-year-old running on the card today. And And, Mr. Lucas's history. So when you look through the program, he also has one of those little crowns by him. So he is nominated to the Triple Crown, meaning, you know, with you have a decent filly nowadays, you got to play the game because of the point system.
Yeah.
You don't earn Derby points when you run against the girl. So let's just, you know, dream a little bit here. And let's say he runs here and, let's say she wins here and gathers, 50 points for that. Well, she can lock in the Oaks with that. And, you know, depending on how she comes out of it, she has an option then to, you know, try and maybe run in a boys race and be eligible for the Derby as well. But she's looked that good. But let's not to get too crazy. She won one stake. But the reason I talked about Ethereal Road so much is because this filly basically did the same thing. Came out of the Goldenrod and came here and won. Won an allowance race. Yeah, it looked nice. And then, let's see if she can do it again. And boy, she sure did. And she ran really good in the Martha Washington. And not a ton of competition in here. A couple options. Option Ali on the rail, who's a win type. She's won 3 out of 7. Has won a stake or two. And it's Zia Park and Remington, but she's done it in good order. She's going to be, on the engine out of the gate, which is where you want to be. And maybe that's the place to be today. We'll see. Uguri, who's coming off a little bit of a layoff in that aforementioned Goldenrod, who actually beat Secret Oath in that race. So we'll see how it is. And a first-time stakes competitor, Ice Orchid, from the red-hot John Ortiz barn, who's right outside Secret Oath, has a nice maiden win over the track. And it could get up into the exacta position. But we're all here to kind of check out Secret Oath and see how she performs for sure.
Yeah, like I say, going to be rooting for that one because it'll be fun to have Lucas back in the hunt for the big weekend again this year. Rick, a little bit different this year with the early start at Oaklawn. It seems to have gone well so far. You had that little hiccup with the weather, but that is not unusual regardless of the start time down there. But I pulled up from Equibase yesterday the jockey stats, the trainer stats, and yesterday the top three on the jockey side were tied up. But as we came into today, after yesterday's card, Francisco Arrieta sits with 33, one ahead of David Cabrera, 32, Ricardo Santana, 31. So it's jumbled up there on the top of the jocks board. The trainer list, no surprise who's sitting atop there, Asmussen, Cox, and Diodoro. Give us some thoughts on how things stand at this point in the meet on the human side of things.
Well, it's the first time we've tried opening up in December. And like you said, the weather's going to be the weather. But I think the horsemen have responded. And it's the first time we've ever had Rebel Day in February. And so these are the most hardy fans and loyal fans. They're going to be out here in droves no matter when. And so it traditionally Rebel Day has been like a rebirth, like a restart of the season. And I think that's what we're going to see. We're about halfway through. And I think let me tell you what. I had dinner in a casino last night, and Steve and I did, and we were walking out about 9 o'clock. And I'll tell you what, if you didn't have a map, you would think you were in Vegas. The place was that place was rocking. So I think the idea of throwing a casino in here and the hotel has worked. So it's only going to get better from here on out, weather wise and race wise. So I think this whole thing's.
I think we might have. Oh, okay. We lost it there at the end a little bit, Rick. But the meet started a little bit earlier. Seems to have been working out well so far. And you talked about a big crowd in the casino. But I've been looking at Twitter, various Twitter feeds, and it seems like every Saturday somebody is taking a picture of the apron, and you're getting big crowds and have going back to the early beginning of the meet. So it looks like the locals have responded to the expanded season.
Yeah, well, I hate to say it, but you kind of get numb to it. You're just, it's like a flashback to the way it used to be, but here it's just normal.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, it's crowded. You go out to the fifth race, and on any race day, you got the crowd. They got a beer in their hand, they got a smile on their face, they got a ticket in their pocket, and they just they just love coming to Oakland here, and it's just become part of the community, and they've just taken to it. And the addition of the casino and the hotel is even better.
Yeah, great product, and as I say, I have a lot of fun. Just before we let you go, I got to get an update because we always talk about this with you and everybody down there. But the claim game is so crazy. The claim box, you have to have on asbestos gloves for the claim box down there. Seems like it's going pretty well at this point also. Give us the claiming situation so far at the meet.
We've run 30. This is the 37th day of the meet. We've had over $7 million in claims. So you can, whack that up. I mean, it's 15 to 20 every non-Saturday, because Saturdays we run, try to run a lot of non-claiming races. But they line them up, and the reason they get them, half the reason you get them, when you claim a horse, you need a place to run them back, and there's always a place to run them back here. That really helps. You're not going to just sit in the barn and say, what am I going to do with them? So the horsemen love to run here, and that's what makes this place so great.
Yeah, again, love the racing down there, the claiming side of things. Always a lot of fun to follow that as well. Rick, know it's a busy day, and you got some entries to take and whatnot, so we'll let you go. But we wanted to catch up and just preview a nice day of racing on this Saturday down at Oaklawn. Again, appreciate the time. Good luck to everybody down there, and we'll talk again.
Thanks. Always a pleasure talking to you, Seth. Good luck to you up there. Stay warm.
We're trying. Thanks. Rick Hammerly, racing coordinator from Oaklawn. Again, really nice day of racing down there today. Looking forward to Secret Oath again. Be fun. And Rick made a great point. I'm saying Secret Oath to the Kentucky Oaks. But, yes, you do see that symbol next to her name in the PPs. They have nominated her. But, as Rick said, don't forget that, currently the way the point system worked, they changed it fairly recently where the fillies have to, get the points to get in, which means she has to show up in a boys race at some point. But gets enough points, Oaks points today in the Honeybee, and then who knows, maybe they show up in the Arkansas Derby or somewhere along the line to get some points to get in the Kentucky Derby. And as Rick said, we know the history of Wayne Lucas, so it wouldn't be a shock to potentially see Honeybee, Secret Oath try the boys in the Kentucky. That would really add a storyline to the Derby this year. All right, we'll wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. And I'm just looking for my promos here. We do have three races still remaining in Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Derby will be coming up at 11:05, then the next race 11:45, the Saudi Cup itself 12:35. Don't forget, I was going to say we opened earlier at the Clubhouse Racebook, but as we typically open up at 11 a.m., one way or the other, if you're thinking about coming down to watch the Saudi Cup, you would be eligible. But we did get an early start here today at the Clubhouse Racebook. Don't forget also today here at the Racebook, there is a Winabet contest. We'd love to have you come down and take advantage of that. Always a lot of fun to maybe get a little extra dough to play with the Winabet contest. That's here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Tomorrow, same spot, Clubhouse Racebook. It's a player's bankroll. That's where you, the players, get to make the bankroll bets. Team is selected. Everybody on the team gets a little chunk of cash to make a bet. All of the winnings are pooled together, and folks split it up. We've had a couple of nice lucrative players bankrolls. It's always a lot of fun. Come on down tomorrow to the Clubhouse Racebook and see if potentially you can get on the players bankroll team here. Again, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right. Once again, do want to continue to remind you that at Gulfstream today, it is a mandatory pay in the rainbow. They're predicting 6. Ryan Nadeau is saying 8. He wouldn't be surprised to see 10. I'm always, when I hear the 6, they've got a million in. When I hear the 6, I always feel like, I don't know, that seems like a lot of money. And then I feel like, oh, I was right, because about 5 minutes to post, I look up and it's 2 or 3 million, and I say, it's not going to get to that 6. And then about 30 seconds to post, all of a sudden it shoots up exponentially, and you're at the 4, 5, 6 million in that last minute or two, and then they pull, you know, they drag the post a little bit. They're predicting 6. Brian Edo said 8 or 10, maybe. So tough sequence, but it's a 20-cent increment. It's worth taking a shot and putting a little ticket together and taking a little pop today at Gulfstream with the mandatory pay in the Rainbow 6. Otherwise, I'll be taking a look at some Aqueduct and some Oaklawn today and more on OTB Live, and we'll be back in about an hour with that. As Rick Hamley noted, the Oaklawn post time today a little bit earlier than usual. 12:10 their time today. That means 1:10 for us. Usually they're about 2 o'clock on the weekend, sometimes 1:30, but they're a little bit earlier today with a 12-race card. They will kick off at Oaklawn our time at 1:10, and I'll have that in my mix on the afternoon program as well. So it should be a fun afternoon of racing, and it's a fun morning. And as you can see, the Saudi Derby coming up, so I'll wrap it up. We'll take a look at some Saudi action. We'll also plug in some of the pregame shows over the next hour or so. And don't forget, 12:35, the Saudi Cup. Mandaloon, Midnight Bourbon, Mishriff, Art Collector. Should be a lot of fun. So stay tuned to the network for all of that. And as I say, I'll jump back in about an hour or so for OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. I'm Seth Mero. Good luck. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a little.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.